There's a problem with this, isn't there?
No baby?
No, there's a baby, but of course, the wise men and the shepherds were never together. So there were certainly no camels. And it's lovely, Trevor. It's lovely. But there was no stable either, really. Nothing tells us that there was a stable. So there wouldn't have been any other animals, certainly. You read the books, these great people tell you things. Where was Jesus born? Well, you know, cave. Or was it on the ground floor of a house? You know, where the animals were, but it was probably that they'd been booted out so that the family could come in and stay on the ground floor. So, did the shepherds bring their sheep? I don't think so. So we are left. We're clear. The key thing is there was a manger. We know that. And clearly there was Mary and Joseph, and we do know the shepherds came. So, after announcing that a saviour had been born in Bethlehem, the angel tells the shepherds how to find the baby. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. So imagine this scenario where someone's just suddenly appeared in this world. How would you tell them to find this person? And what would be the sign?
Look for sign.
Pardon?
Put a sign outside of the house. It's a literal sign.
Is it? I don't know. Is that...
Yeah. When the new direct descendant, they put it...
Oh, yes, okay. Yes, but now, today, how would you tell someone to find that person?
Oh, I thought you said imagine when they just arrived in the world.
Yes, and how would you tell them where to find this person?
The Royal Standard.
Pardon?
It's the Royal Standard that gets...
Yes, that's good, so Royal Standard. So there'll be a flag above his house. Okay, all right. Don't know how many other people in the world have a flag above their house. I suppose that's pretty good. Yes? Any other signs that would tell you who that is?
I mean, he's in a big palace.
Lives in a big palace. But what's the problem with that at this moment, though? No. Where would that person be now? Sandringham. They wouldn't be in their big palace anywhere. They'd be in Sandringham. Well, okay. So, yeah. Okay. It's quite big. Yeah. All right, okay. So the sign, you know, what might the sign be? What sign would be for this person? What would be the sign to tell another person that that is who he is? What would be the sign? Pardon? Google? That ruins the whole thing, Pam.
Media.
The media? Okay.
What is it? Something Downing
Street. Number 10 Downing Street. But there's a problem with that, though. Where is this man? No? Where does he spend Christmas? Checkers. Yeah. So any other signs for that man?
A lot of security.
Look for a man who's got lots of security going around him. Okay, yes. Anything else that would tell you? Okay, what about this person?
Well,
It is the Archbishop of York.
Sorry. I know the new Archbishop.
Well, how do you know that that man is a what would be the sign to tell you who that is? An Essex accent. The one that doesn't narrow it down much. Pardon? He'll probably tell you. Okay. Why might he be? And what might, you know, how would you know it was him?
Wearing a funny hat.
Wearing a funny hat? Yes. That narrows it down. He'd be wearing a funny hat.
In a big cathedral.
Yeah. Okay. What would be the sign for that person?
It's Claudia Winkleman.
It's Claudia Winkleman? How do you know it's Claudia Winkleman? How would you tell somebody that the sign for Claudia Winkleman? John? She's got silly hair. Does that narrow it down? Okay. So she's a lady with a funny fringe. On all the TV programs. Wears black. Okay. How do you know who that... What would be the sign for that person? Golf clubs?
Rory
McIlvory? His accent? So, an Irish person with golf clubs? Anything else? Pardon? On a golf course? Okay, good. And with a few trophies, no doubt. Green jacket, good. The manger is clearly important. The manger was mentioned 3 times in our reading. The angel has just declared the best news anyone has ever heard. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now we've heard these verses so many times, and perhaps we forget just how utterly unprepared the shepherds were to hear those words. And how awesome those words must have sounded. A saviour has been born. The Messiah has come. The Lord from heaven is here. And in Bethlehem, no less. But where in Bethlehem? How will they find the baby? And so that's where verse 12 comes in. The angel speaks of the sign. What sign could that be? The God of the universe has intervened in human history. Surely the sign will be something amazing. Something never seen before. Something supernatural. But the sign from God is, and as the older translations put it, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So it was important that the shepherds found the right baby. It was the only baby lying in a manger. And seeing that baby in the manger must have told them that what the angel had spoken about was true. No doubt they told Mary and Joseph about what had happened. And Mary and Joseph, on hearing this, would have been encouraged, as up until that point, it all had been a secret for them. So why was the baby a sign? Why did God choose to enter the human race like that? And why does the text mention the swaddling clothes, the cloths? And what does the manger signify? After all, Jesus was not the only baby in Bethlehem that night. We know later on that Herod had all the baby boys under the age of 2 put to death. So there must have been other infants and toddlers. What's so special about a baby in a manger? Indeed, The whole world missed that sign from God. We know that the Jews were looking for a Messiah. Even Herod's scribes knew that Micah, the prophet Micah, had predicted that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. They wanted something spectacular too, a political Messiah, someone who would deliver them from the Roman occupation. The Jews wanted a sign, but they weren't expecting a baby in a manger. So this birth tells us something about his humanity. A baby, that's all the Bible says. The Greek word means an infant, a newborn child. It's a totally ordinary word used to describe the birth of a child. And this tells us that Christ came into this world as we all have done. Even though we often speak of the virgin birth, the real miracle occurred at the moment of conception, 9 months earlier. Jesus' physical birth was completely normal, or as normal as it possibly could be in this situation. To say that Christ was born as a baby brings us face to face with the truth of the incarnation. Although he was fully and truly God, the Son of God took on true humanity when he was conceived in Mary's womb and born in Bethlehem. He was fully God and fully man. He did not cease to be God, although he laid aside his majesty. And this is the central truth of our faith. God has entered human history in order to provide for our salvation. But in order to do that, he had to become like one of us to save us. And then secondly, it tells us about his helplessness. In that day, newborn babies were indeed wrapped in strips of cloth to protect them from the harsh elements at the time. Mothers would wrap up the arms and legs separately and then wrap the torso until the baby looked a bit like an Egyptian mummy. Now that may seem cruel, and indeed it did severely restrict the child's movements. But in a world with little medical care, where babies routinely died before their first birthday, it was a way to provide a crude kind of protection. And maybe, indeed, it does remind us of the events leading up to the crucifixion, when Jesus was bound that we might be set free. He entered the world as he left it, bound and apparently helpless. And then we also learn about his humility. A manger was indeed a feeding trough. It comes from the Latin word manucare, which means to eat. So yes, the creator of all things makes himself lowly to the point where he's placed in a manger where dirty animals come to eat. As one writer puts it, the same body that will be broken in crucifixion for the forgiveness of our sins is first laid in a manger. The holy God of all that is laying in a wooden box like a meal for swine, a feast for sinners, a banquet for beggars. The image is striking and admittedly scandalous. God has come into the world in a most unlikely way. As Philippians 2 puts it, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Right from the beginning, the arrival of this baby started to change lives. The shepherds had been out in the fields at night, They're sitting out on that black night. It's a picture of every human heart without the Saviour. But as Isaiah prophesies, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And as Zechariah puts it in the previous chapter, verse 78, 79, the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And suddenly there was a flash of light. The angel of the Lord stands before them, and the glory of the God and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And again, perhaps that's a symbol of what happens to every person when the Holy Spirit shines into their darkened heart. It's not surprising that they were terrified. They were watching their flocks because of the danger of robbers and wolves. So they were a bit on edge, perhaps also a bit drowsy. And then suddenly the sky lights up like the noonday sun. A man who had not been there seconds before was instantly standing there, brilliant in appearance. And the angel speaks words of comfort and joy. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. As John Newton put it in that great hymn, 'twas grace that caused my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And the shepherds believe the word of the angel, and some of them leave to go to Bethlehem to see for themselves what the Lord had revealed to them. And on arrival, they viewed the baby with eyes of faith, in accordance with the word given to them by the angel. And as Mary pondered over everything that had happened, the shepherds, verse 17, spread the word concerning what had happened, or what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. When God takes us from darkness, from the darkness of our sin, and by his grace reveals his Saviour to our soul, our heart will be filled with praise and joy. As Paul writes, the Spirit will give us wisdom and understanding that will help us to give joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. Millions of people will attend nativity services and carol services this year. Many will be believers, many will not. Is it that the baby in the manger is far less threatening than the adult Christ? That the baby in the manger is sweet and cuddly and controllable? The baby in the manger is like God in a box, a God whom we are comfortable to approach, to think about, even to worship. But the Christ hanging on the cross is not a pretty picture. He is not one to whom we are drawn. He doesn't evoke in us warm and fuzzy feelings. The baby in the manger is weak and helpless. He needs us. But the Christ, who is our Messiah and Lord, is God and is sovereign. And he demands our obedience, our worship, our all. As a well-worn quotation puts it, If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a saviour. And since the world needed a saviour, God sent a baby. And this is the surprise and the wonder and ultimately the delight of Christmas. God did what we would never have done. And in so doing, he opened the door of heaven for all of us. Amen. Father, we do come to these accounts in the Bible every year. Father, I just pray that you would help us to see them afresh. Help us to see something different. Something that will really hit home this Christmas. We thank you that you did indeed come into this world. And you came into this world to save us. And to do that, you had to be fully human and fully God. Help us to remember and to encourage our friends and families as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.